Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. John 15, verses 12 through 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you.
Mama.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. And if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. From the thought, a true friend.
Talk, Pastor.
All right now, a true friend.
Where they at?
Baby, you can.
We all in control.
Recall a line from a song. Lean on me. Bill Withers said, lean on me when you're not strong.
Yeah.
I'll be your friend.
I'll help you carry on. Lean on me.
For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody.
I will.
To lean on.
No,
well, if you don't know that, but maybe you can remember a line from a song that says that's what friends are for.
Yeah.
In good times.
Bad times.
In bad times.
Yeah.
I'll be by your side forevermore. That's what friends
are for.
I think both of those songs give us a picture of what a true, authentic friend should be. Most of us want friends that will be with us through the good times and
the bad.
The bad times. Yeah. Friends that will be by our side, not just when we're up,
when we're down,
but also when we are down.
Talk, Pastor.
Friends that will allow us to lean on them at critical times in our lives, and we've got to admit that in our search for real friends, the search has oftentimes come up empty. It's also come up painful. It's come up unfulfilled. We search for that right person who will be with us during our sickness, during our trials, during our tribulations, during our problems.
Talk, Pastor.
Our desperate days. We just want somebody who will come alongside us and take our hand and help us make it through dark and dismal days.
Talk.
We want friends that will be happy when we're happy, sad when we're sad. But usually it's the opposite. If we don't watch it, you'll surround yourself with friends that are happy when you're sad, and sad when you're happy.
Talk.
I disagree with Lord Sanders, who said that a friend in need is a friend to be avoided, because all of us have endured so-called friends who were there as long as everything was going
all right. Talk.
Just as soon as things got tough, they were on their way. The type of friends that I want are the type that will outlast disagreements, that will outlast change, even outlast separation. We want friends that will show up when we need them the most. Now, we classify friends by how much we talk to them, many of us.
No.
Now, let me suggest to you that a person is not necessarily your friend just because
you talk to them every day.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
Not just because they stay on the phone with you all day and all night. Most of us have been hurt by people we thought were
our friends.
People we trusted, people we loved, people we have given to, people who we took up their calls when they were in trouble. We've been hurt by people that we helped when they needed us, who in return gave us that good old stab in the come back. You know who I'm talking about. They smile in your face.
Backstab. Take your place.
How many times I've been hurt by what I thought were real
friends.
But I thank God daily for the true friends that the Lord has given, because true friends are God-given.
Yes.
They don't just stumble into your life. They don't just happen into your
exactly.
life. Exactly. They're true friends of God-given. We all need friends. We need that right person that will listen to our hurts, that will show up, and even though they may not say a word, their presence really says it all. We need somebody that will tarry with us, that will walk with us during those times when we just can't make it by ourselves. Everybody needs a friend.
Yeah.
But what we have done is we stoop to the point that we are labeling acquaintances, associates as friends, and somehow we've allowed people to come into our lives, just bump into them, and the next day you're friends. But you need to understand that this word friend is not something you take lightly or place on someone. So the young folk, be careful who you hang out with.
Huh?
It's a reflection of who you are. My grandmama used to say, boy, you're known by the company that
you keep.
That's true. Ah. If you hang around with folk that are thugs, you're going to get a thug label. If you hang around with folk that ain't trying to go nowhere, you're going to get that same label. If you hang around with the folk that are wearing that pants half down there behind and all of that kind of stuff, you'll be labeled as they are. You gotta be careful who you hang out with.
What you say?
Fast, loose girls. Folks label you as fast and loose. Watch the so-called friend you hang out. You really need to try folk out before you label them as your friend. Because some so-called friends will be with you as long as everything is going all right.
Huh.
As long as your car is running.
Huh.
As long as you got money in your bank account. As long as you got a job. But just as soon as things get dark in your life.
Talk, Pastor.
You can't find them nowhere. So it behooves all of us to reevaluate who it is that we call a friend.
Your friend.
Talk, Pastor. Not only who we call friends, but also who we allow to call us friends. It's been suggested in this life that you'll only get about 5 real friends.
Huh.
In your life, you'll only be able to look back and see that 5 people were real friends. They were there, but who is that person who has been there in your life regardless? Who is it that has listened to your hurts? Who is it that has listened to the secrets of your soul? Who is it that has shared time and treasure with you without spending it all and spreading it all over time? Who is it that knows your shortcomings but yet is not judgmental? Who is it that
has talk, Pastor,
with you? Not just a little piece, but listen, he knows everything about you. Who is it that's been there through all of your ups and all of
and
your
all of my days?
Who is it that knows you inside and out? Who is that person that has offered you their home when you were about to be put out? Now maybe your list is not that long. Maybe you haven't lived long enough to acquire 5 genuine, authentic friends. I need to share with you that we need friendships that are not only do we need friendships that are rewarding, but we need friendships that are relevant. We need friendships that are rewarding and relevant, but we also need friendships that are refreshing. You see, the problem is that most individuals we call friends, they drain us rather than refresh us.
Yeah.
But a true friend refreshes us. Now, out of everything that I've said to you this morning, I've checked out earthly friends, and most of them come.
Yes, they do.
So we've got to look to a higher place for our friends.
I like to say today
that Jesus Christ is the greatest friend
that you ever need.
Or have a witness in here today.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the greatest friend you'll ever have. The text says Jesus has just told his disciples that he was going to go away. In the previous chapter, he told them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In 14 and 31, Jesus leaves that upper room in chaos
the Capernaum Valley, and somewhere he begins to talk about vines and abiding and bearing fruit. Then in verse 9, all of a sudden he began to talk about how he loves them. Verse 9, he says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved him. And what I want you to do is to continue in my love. How do we do that? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Then he leaves this standing order that has trickled down to the church. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved
you.
It's really that someone had told them another story. Jesus said, no, my commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. I don't know why he says this other than maybe he sees after he's gone that the disciples internally will start fighting one another. They've already argued about who's the greatest. James and John have already got their mother involved in an argument about which one of her sons can sit at the right hand or the left hand. If anything happened to Jesus, who's going to be in charge? So Jesus knew that Satan was working on the inside of the disciples. And he knew that kingdom work would require them to have some love. Can I tell you, in order to do the work of the Lord, you got to love one another?
What you say? All these folks I deal with.
And listen, it's not always easy to love folks.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the church.
Amen.
It's not always easy to love your brother and your sister. It's not always
talk, Pastor.
To love those that you're working on the auxiliary with. It's not always easy to love those that you're in charge of, because some people have a hateful spirit.
Yes, they do.
And it makes it hard to love them. But Jesus said, don't love as you love one another. He says, love them as I have loved
of you.
But how did he love us? While we were yet sinners.
Huh.
Christ died for us. That means while we were yet in our wrongness, while we were yet doing whatever it was that we were doing, Christ still loved us. And we only want to love the people that love us back.
Huh.
We only want to love the people who go along with everything that we say.
Talk.
We only want to love the people who uphold us, even though they know we're doing
wrong.
Jesus said, you got to love everybody. And in order to do that, you got to love people like I love you.
You.
I'm amazed at that. People are quick to say that I can't love somebody, or I can't get along with somebody. And you don't understand that folks gotta love you to get along with you. Because all of us have some ugly ways.
Talk!
Yeah, we do.
Oh, come on.
Talk, Pastor!
Everybody.
Including
me, have got some ugly ways. And somebody has to put up with your ugly ways.
Talk, Pastor!
That you can't put up with us.
Much is required.
That's what my job is now.
You gotta be able to stand more than other folks can stand. That's why you're a leader.
Yeah. Huh.
Listen, I probably shouldn't say this because I know I got a bunch up in here, but listen, I couldn't be the Dallas Cowboys coach. I couldn't be that quarterback.
Why that? Haters.
Because nothing they do is ever right.
Huh. You right?
Jason Garrett can't do nothing, right? I was listening in office this morning. Remember when Kelsey came in and we had a moment of silence for the Cowboys last night?
That's all right. Hey. Someone looking at you, Pastor.
He was saying it's the coach's fault.
No, it ain't the coach's fault. The coach
didn't know what he was doing. They
gonna get mixed coach. In.
Listen, you gotta understand, as leaders, some folks are never gonna think you do anything right. I don't care what you do, I don't care how you do it. And if you base your leadership on what other folks say, you'll quit the first day. But listen, as long as God is pleased,
My, my, my. Talk, Pastor.
I'm not working for you. I'm working for the Lord. As long as I know what the Lord says.
Go, Pastor.
My God.
He says, I command you to love one another, and I have loved you. He says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you love one another. My brothers and sisters, if my Mariah is to take off, and we are to experience growth and flourish, it will only happen when we learn how to love one another.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
If we are to grow spiritually, individually, as a whole, it will only happen when we learn how to love one another. The key to all your success is predicated on your loving one another. Why would God act in this church when we can't get along with what we already have?
Talk!
Listen, it's how you love that impresses God.
Yeah. My, my.
It's not about how high you jump when you shout. No, it's about how straight you walk when you come down.
Huh.
You hang on the chandelier, roll on the pew, how you speak an unknown tongue, and won't even speak to your neighbor in English on Sunday morning. Nothing impresses God.
Yeah.
How you love one another.
Talk, Pastor. Talk, Pastor.
True discipleship is based on how you come to love one another. But I say to you today that Jesus says that if you want to see love at its best, he says, look at me.
Huh.
If you want to learn how to love, pattern your life after how I have loved you. We love him because he first
loved me.
Loved us.
Yeah.
Gave his life for you. Yeah. With all of your hangups, he gave his life for you. With all of the mess you
made,
he gave his life for you.
Yeah.
With all of your insecurities, with all of your bad judgment calls, the trouble you and all have been in, he still loves us.
Talk, Pastor.
Most friends, they don't love like that. Amen. They got conditional love. If everything is going all right, call me. But if not, I got a call out there. I won't answer my phone. But Jesus loves you with all you've done.
Amen.
Isn't that a real friend?
Huh.
He knows it all, but yet he still
loves
us. He knows stuff nobody else knows.
Lord.
The good news is he still loves us, and he expresses it by giving his own life.
Yeah.
He goes beyond mere mortal mind and gives his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. Jesus' friendship is one that exalts. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do so whatever I command. What a statement. You are my friends. Not you're trying to become my friend, but you are my friend. The question today is, not Jesus is our friend, but are we his friend? I know you think about him as a lot of things. I know you think about him as Lord and Savior. I know you think about him as the Son of God, and he is. I know you think about him as the Messiah, he is. I know you think about him as the propitiation for our sins, and he is all of that, but he's also our friend. Have you ever thought about him in that context? Have you ever thought about him when you're looking for friendship in all the wrong places? And you've already got one. You little sense of wealth, this is not the way to become my friend. You are my friend. This is the way to show that we are friends. Keep my commandments.
Keep
he
my
says,
commandments.
We already have a friendship, but friends tell friends the truth.
Yeah.
Talk.
Can I say that again? Friends tell friends the truth. Lily, he said, I'm not going to tell you anything that will hurt you. He said, so since I'm genuinely concerned about you, I give you my commandments, desiring that you keep them.
I know you're right, Pastor.
Desiring to keep you in line. Keep going in the right direction. Ultimately, meet you at my Father's house. So he said that I require, since we're friends, is that you show the whole world we're friends by simply keeping my commandments. We need friendships that exhort us, that will admonish us, that will tell us what we want to, not tell us what we want to hear, but tell us the truth. Listen, stop lying to your so-called friends.
They don't want to hear the truth, Pat.
Tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Stop telling them they look good when they really don't. I mean, if you're my real friend, and you know that's a little bit too tight, and that really don't fit my Tell me.
They tell me.
Call me out of it. Uh-huh.
You've got to learn to be honest with one another.
So he says that I require, since we're friends, that you show the whole world we're friends by simply keeping my commandments. We need friendships that will exhort us, admonish us, tell us the truth. He says, henceforth, I don't need to call you servants, for the servants don't know what the Lord, his master, does. But I call you friends for all things that I've heard of my Father. I've made known unto you, he says, I've taken you into my confidence. Now, real friendship, when you're able to take a person into confidence, when you can tell folk in confidence. Uh-huh. And I've told you before, don't tell everybody your business.
Amen.
You allow them to come into your life, and yet you never have to worry about whatever you told them getting out.
Yeah.
When I pause there for a minute, all of us have been hurt by those individuals who for a moment we thought were friends.
Yeah.
And as soon as they get mad, they go get another friend, and there goes your business.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
You allow people into your confidence, but the older I get, it's taking a while. Some things age will do that for you. The older you get, the less people you let into your confidence.
Talk.
Yeah. You are.
Can I give y'all a secret here today?
What's
yeah.
that?
Give a secret. If you let them into your confidence, you need to know as much on them as they know on you.
Talk, Pastor. Yeah.
Come back.
So that's kept me safe. A lot of times, if you tell it, listen, I'm going to tell it. You tell on me?
I'm going to tell on you.
I'm going to tell on you. Now we can meet up at the church if you want to. And we can just tell it. It ain't going to be no one-way telling. We're going to tell it all.
Tell it all. And they know on you.
He says, everything that my Father has told me, I've not hid it from you. I've let you in my confidence. He says, everything my Father told me, I've told you. I didn't do anything in the dark. He says, when I heard from my Father concerning my betrayal and my departure, he says, I told you about it. He says, when my Father gave me word about the Holy Spirit, he says, I told you about it. He says, when my Father gave me clearance from the tower as I was talking about my coming again, he says, I told you about it. When my Father gave me the keys to his house, he told me that I could bring you home with me. I told you about it. He says, I told you when I was going away. But in the meantime, I told you I wanted you to love one another. I haven't hid anything from you. Everything my Father told me, he said, I've told you. And as he said, I've been the best friend you could ever have. I need to tell somebody today that Jesus is a friend above all other friends. He's a friend that when everybody else walks out, he'll walk right in. He's a friend that when you don't believe in yourself,
huh,
the Lord still believes in
me.
You. Yeah. He's a friend that knows all about you. But yet, he still loves you. He's a friend that you can tell your secrets to. And it won't be all over town. Thank God we got a friend like Jesus. Oh, I heard the writer say, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, the grief and burdens to bear. What a privilege it brother. Know folks that he's a mother to the motherless. A father
to the fatherless.
To the father. What a friend we have in Jesus. And if you feel alone today, if you feel by yourself, if everybody walk out on you, Jesus said, I'll never leave you.
Nor forsake you.
Stories told of an old couple who were riding down the road in the 60s. They were riding and the wife said to the husband, said, honey, said, you remember when we first started dating and got married? Said, you used to sit right under me. That was back when they had bench seats. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They didn't have the bucket seats where you could sit right under your husband. Get so close that people have to look twice to see that there were two people in the car. She said, you used to sit right under me. She said, what happened? So you don't sit under me like you used to anymore. What happened? What's changed? He looked at her and said, baby, he said, I hadn't moved. I'm still in the same place. I'm still in the driver's seat. I hadn't moved. I'm still in the same place. And listen, if God seems far away from you, he hadn't moved.
Amen.
He's still in the same place. So if you feel far from God, it's not because God has moved.
It's because you moved.
Because you moved. Maybe today you've gotten away from God. Maybe that's distance. Maybe you don't feel his presence anymore. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear me, the knob is on the inside. He says, if you open up, you got to invite him in. If you open up, he says, I'll come in and sup with you. And listen, if you're here today, maybe outside the ark of safety. Maybe you've been looking for a real friend. Maybe you've been looking for a true friend. Maybe everybody you counted on let you down. I know a friend that will never, ever let you down. He says, I'm right here waiting on you. All you got to do is come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you're here today, would you come by letter, Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism? Would you come today? One of the first songs I learned as a kid, and it's still true today. We think it's a kid song, but it's really for all of us. Simply says, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes.
between me and the Lord. Sometimes it becomes a love story, and I have to sing to him in another voice. Sometimes I have to sing to him in an operatic voice, because it's really a love affair between me and the Lord. So sometimes I have to tell him like this.
God bless you. God keep you, is our prayer.